Tim, that was wonderful. So thank you. You know, if you get here in time to listen to the, bring the volume down a little bit, please. Maybe not that far. There we go. If you get here early, as all of you are, to the service for the prelude, Tim often has wonderful pieces that he's played that can really help us in our meditation and preparation for worship. So thank you very much, Tim. For all of that. Well, good morning. Welcome. If you're a visitor with us, a very special welcome to each and every one of you. We're delighted that you're here with us today. And following the service upstairs, we'll have a time of friendship together and some refreshments. And if you have the time, we invite you to come upstairs and take some time for friendship together. And if you're a visitor, we do have at our visitor center today, which is located in the narthex by a little stand-up table there, Doug Baker from our Board of Deacons will be there to greet you. And if you would like any information about the church or you'd like to know how to get up to the Pilgrim Hall or anything like that, Doug can answer literally everything. Ask him any question at all, he'll be able to answer it for you. If you will, please make yourselves known to us and to one another by autographing the friendship pads that you see in the center aisle areas. And as we ask every week, we invite you to sign your name. If you'd like to give us any additional information, please do that as well. And then pass that down, if you will, these new microphones. I don't want to hang it on my ear very well. Pass it down the row and then back to the center. That way we'll be able to begin to learn each other's names as it passes to the row. A couple of announcements. First of all, today, immediately following the worship service, downstairs in what we call the Mayflower Room area, it's kind of the main floor area of the church, we are having our new member orientation brunch. So we are inviting any persons, prospective new members, people who are interested in learning more about our church. You don't have to become a member of the church, but we have this new member orientation today, a brunch. It'll last until about 12:30 to meet with myself, embarrassing a couple of our other leaders, and talk a little bit about who we are at the First Congregational Church of Ann Arbor and answer maybe some of the questions that you might have about who we are as the First Congregational Church of Ann Arbor, and also give you some materials that you can take home with you and look at and read. We are having a new member Sunday, on Sunday, November 5. If any wish to join our church and become a full member of our church, that'll happen on November 5. You do not have to attend a new member orientation in order to become a member of the church, but you would need to let us know if that's your intention. So that's in 2 weeks on November 5. We have a Knights out on Dexter Avenue, Dexter Road, Knights luncheon social tomorrow for anyone who would like to come and join us for lunch. It's just a chance to be together and sit around a table and just talk, chat. There's no real agenda. It's just a chance to be together. There's a note about that in your worship bulletin. And what else am I forgetting or missing here at Darcy? Nothing? Amazing. Well, let us greet one another as we begin then our worship.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Please join me this morning in the call to worship and prayer of invocation and the Lord's Prayer. The goodness and love of God invites us and welcomes us. Life is itself a gift. God blesses us with each new day and offers us the abundance of God's presence and hope, joy and healing. O come, let us sing our praises to God. Let us make a joyful noise to the God of our salvation. We come, O God, into your presence with thanksgiving, rejoicing with songs of praise. Let us worship God together. Let us pray. Loving and eternal God, Creator, Christ, and Spirit, we seek your presence with us this morning as we gather for worship. Fill our emptiness and humanness with your peace and love, and fill our darkness and doubt with your light and hope. Fulfill in us the potential for which we were born and were called into your church. For we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us when praying to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
If I could have our children up here, please, for children's circle. Great. High schoolers, you don't have to come up. You'll go down for class for a second. How is everyone? Do you guys like my hula hoop? Do you think I'm actually going to try to hula hoop? Nope.
Yes.
You're right. Yeah, who said yes? They know me well. I actually did try to hula hoop this week, and they took a picture of me and, believe it or not, put it on Facebook to say what this children's circle is going to be about. But I did not do a very good job hula hooping, so I have a different task for us today. Today, your parents are going to be learning about peacemaking and what it means to be a peacemaker. So I have a quick activity for us to do, but I'm going to need a volunteer whose job it is to stand in the middle perfectly still like a statue. Okay, great, come on. All right, no, the rest of you have all got to come up. I need your help. Okay, ready? All right, you stand right there. All right, the rest of us, come up here. It's our task to try to get this hula hoop over Lily without it touching her, and we've got to all do it at the same time. So it can't go down like this. It's got to go like this. And here's the trick. Everybody can only use one finger. Okay? Yep. All right, come on. What do you think is the first thing that we should do? Yeah? Okay, here, I'll give it to you. Uh-oh, is it balanced yet? Okay, now what do we do? Oh, you guys are moving nice and slowly. You gotta go, put it all the way to the ground, so you gotta bend down all at the same time. You did it. Okay, nice work. So believe it or not, you guys were just peacemakers because you did a lot of really special things with that. You were patient, You listened. I didn't hear anybody criticize. I didn't hear anybody say, you're moving too fast, or you're moving too slow, or don't let go of it. And you, all of your jobs were equally important. You had to stay really still. You all had to go at the same pace. So being a peacemaker means you've got to recognize that your job is just as important as everybody else's job, and that you have to encourage each other and listen and be patient. And you guys just were peacemakers in that awesome. Good job. Well done. All right, let's say a prayer before we go down. Dear God, help us to be peacemakers in this world that you love. Amen. Good work, guys. Josh, will you take this down? Thanks. We have indeed been blessed, and so we now share those blessings through our tithes and our offering.
Thank you.
God, we give you thanks for the saints and the prophets in whose footsteps we journey, those who have worked tirelessly for peace and for the freedom to worship you. Lord, we dedicate these gifts in that spirit, that we may all live and work for the day when all dwell in abundance and justice. For we ask it in your Son's name. Amen.
As many of you know, we are walking through for 8 weeks the Beatitudes that come out of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, the 5th chapter. This is the 7th Sunday of our 8th Sunday sermon series. Darcy will bring a grand finale to the sermon series next week. We have tried to use each week a different translation or version of the translation of the New Testament into our reading so that you can hear those words in a variety of different ways. Today, our reading comes from a paraphrase of the New Testament, one that I had never heard of before, honestly, called the Easy to Read Version of the Bible. So listen for God speaking to you through these very sacred and beautiful and holy words. Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12, the Beatitudes. When Jesus saw the crowds of people there, he went up on a hill and he sat down. His followers came and sat next to him.
Then Jesus began teaching the people. He said, "Great blessings belong to those who know they are spiritually in need. God's kingdom belongs to them. Great blessings belong to those who are sad now. God will comfort them. Great blessings belong to those who are humble. They will be given the land God promised. Great blessings belong to those who want to do right more than anything else. God will fully satisfy them. Great blessings belong to those who show mercy to others. Mercy will be given to them. Great blessings belong to those whose thoughts are pure. They will be with God. Great blessings belong to those who work to bring peace. God will call them his sons and daughters." And by the way, that is our text for today. "Great blessings belong to those who suffer persecution for doing what is right. God's kingdom belongs to them. People will insult you and hurt you. They will lie and say all kinds of evil things about you because you follow me. But when they do that, know that great blessings belong to you. Be happy about it. Be very glad because you have a great reward waiting for you in heaven. People did these same bad things to the prophets who lived before you." And here ends our reading. Will you please join me in prayer as we begin? So let us pray. God, we do thank you for the gift of life, and we thank you for the blessings that come our way. These deep joys that we experience, these deep feelings of contentment that we know. We ask you now to be with us once again and to stir us today toward action as we consider our text today about peacemaking. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be acceptable and pleasing now to you. Amen. I think one of the most difficult tasks, and I think Darcy would agree with me as a preacher, is to preach from a text that is often poorly reflected in our own lives. Such is the case for me this morning. I am personally challenged by our beatitude for today, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And very honestly, I often have a hard time living it. This seventh beatitude speaks about this whole action or act of peacemaking. In the NRSV version that we normally read on Sunday mornings, that same verse is rendered, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." So once again, very candidly, this beatitude is kind of a tough one for me. So please, you know, keep this in mind as I try to unpack this text for us a little bit this morning, remembering that I am also one of the sojourners along the way of faith, and this text is one that really challenges me. Not too long ago, I was speaking with a person about this particular beatitude and asked him what he thought about this particular beatitude. And this person thought for just a moment, then he answered me. He said, "Well, when I think of this beatitude about peacemaking," he said, "I think of a person who just doesn't want to take a stand. A person who just kind of passively steps aside and just lets things happen." A very submissive kind of understanding of what this particular beatitude is all about. So what do you think? I mean, what's your first thought? What is Jesus really talking about in this beatitude? Well, I think the best way to begin is to look specifically at the word peacemaker. As you know, it's a double word. The first part of the word is, of course, the word peace. The word for peace in the Greek is the word eirene, which is the Greek counterpart for the Hebrew word for peace, which is shalom. In the Greek and in the Hebrew, peace is never, and I say never merely, nor primarily, by the way, a passive state. It never means only the absence of trouble. It never means just the lack of conflict, which is often the way I think that we associate with this word today. In the Greek and in the Hebrew, peace stands for the very active presence of everything that makes for justice, that makes for rightness, that makes for goodness, that makes for prosperity. It includes everything that makes for completeness and welfare. It's everything that makes for wholeness and health and the highest good. It is always active. It is always active, never just passive. And as a matter of fact, it might be better to say it is always proactive. The second part of the word peacemakers, of course, is the word makers. The blessing that Jesus speaks of here is on the peacemakers. It's on those who are the doers of peace, the doers of shalom. It's on those who are the effectors of peace or the effectors of shalom. As one of my heroes, William Barclay, the New Testament expositor, points out in his commentary on this particular passage, he says that the peace which the Bible calls blessed, the peace that the Bible calls blessed, does not come from, and I love the way he terms this, it does not come from the evasion or avoidance of issues. In other words, it's not backing away from something or ignoring something. It's not the evasion of issues or the avoidance of issues. Peace comes from facing them, he says, dealing with them, and even sometimes conquering them. What this beatitude demands then, and it fits with this whole example and modeling of Jesus, is not a submissive kind of acceptance of things that are going on around us. I've often thought myself of the peacemaker as one who, if there's a conflict taking place, they kind of move away from it. It's not that submissive kind of acceptance of things. It's not a refusal to face the situation at all. It's not a refusal to take action. What this particular beatitude demands as peacemakers is the active and the forthright confrontation of circumstances or of conditions where there's disharmony, where there's injustice or suffering, or the lack of wholeness. And then in Jesus' name, it is actively bringing reconciliation and concordance and understanding and healing into those circumstances, even when the pathway to peace and to harmony and a wholeness may be tough and challenging. According to Jesus, those who take such a gutsy and take such an active stand, Jesus says, will be blessed. They will be blessed, and they'll be satisfied, and they'll be deeply content. They'll be joyful, for they shall be called, Jesus says, the very sons and daughters of God. Why is that? Why are they called the sons and daughters of God at that point? Because they are doing a very godlike, sacred, holy and transforming kind of work. What they are doing is trying to bring the ideals and purposes of God into the everyday of our human life. And thus they are considered to be and called the very sons and the very daughters of God. Thus, and I want to be clear, Jesus is not saying, blessed are those who feel peaceful. Although finding and feeling peacefulness can be something very important, and it is also something very biblical. But in this case, that's not what this particular beatitude is about. It's not about those who feel peaceful. What Jesus is saying here is, blessed are those who initiate and create and foster peace or shalom, who try to bring the ideals and purposes of God to human life and everyday human life, for they, Jesus says, are indeed the real children of God. Okay, if I still have you with me. So then, how does one become a peacemaker? I believe there are three ways that we can apply this beatitude to everyday life. First, being a peacemaker means we must first make peace spiritually in our own hearts and in our own souls. We all know that in every one of us, there is sometimes an inner conflict within us between what we think is right and what we think is wrong, between the good behaviors and attitudes that we wish we would have and sometimes those destructive behaviors and attitudes that we sometimes live out. Certainly, to some extent, all of us struggle with issues of self-esteem. We all struggle with some issues of confidence. We all have some things in our lives that need a touch of healing and forgiveness, both within ourselves and also in our relationship, obviously, with others. Yes, blessed are those persons, Jesus says, who first make peace or shalom with themselves. Blessed are those persons who are working on their own personal issues. Blessed are those who live by a code of ethics and core values that bring congruity into their lives and wholeness and fullness. And blessed are those who seek to follow the will and purpose of God, because these, again, are the people that Jesus says are the sons and daughters of God. So first, being a peacemaker means we must first make peace spiritually in our own heart and in our own soul and in relationship to God. We cannot be a peacemaker out there until we find some peace in here. Let there be peace on earth, that folk song says, and let it begin with me. The first step is making peace with yourself. And I hope you'll do that, because God's purpose, will, and desire for you is peace. Not perfection, but peace. Not doing everything right, but wholeness. You know, we may have everything in life that our culture deems important, things like success or material wealth or fame or popularity or status or many other things, but if we don't have this kind of inner peace, if we don't have a certain kind of inner serenity, I believe all these other ingredients just become hollow. Jesus is telling us that peacemaking must begin on the inside of each person. And as we find and make peace within our souls, then we are more able to make peace within our families and communities and workplaces and world and other places. We first must make peace spiritually in our own heart and in our own soul. God wants that for you, for all of us. If you have a hard time getting there, talk with Darcy or talk with me. We'll try to help you. Secondly, being a peacemaker means working to establish really good and right relationships between persons and among persons. You know, I don't know about you, but as I look around me, it seems that there tends to be two different kinds of people, two different types of people that I notice. On the one hand, there are those people, and you know what I'm talking about here, there are those people who always seem to be those storm centers of trouble and bitterness and hostility. You watch these people and you can see them creating great swaths of discord and hurt and stress wherever they go, be it within a family or another intimate relationship, or perhaps at work, or school, or church, or community. These are the people that just seem to bring a feeling and experience of negativity wherever they go. However, on the other side, and I know you know what I'm talking about here as well, I also notice those other people within whose presence it seems like hostility or conflict or negativity cannot live. You watch these people and you see them brightening any room they walk into. These are the people whose very presence is healing and it's comforting and it's strengthening and it's inspiring. These are the people who seem to create harmony and unity and peace wherever they go. And truly, such people as these are doing a very sacred and godlike peacemaking work, for they are fulfilling this great purpose of God by bringing healing and connection and wholeness and justice in relationship to others. Now, I have to tell you, in my own opinion here, I think all of us at times fit both categories. I know I do. There are some days, and the staff can tell you about this, I come into a Monday staff meeting and I'm a grump, to put it bluntly. You know, I've seen the things that haven't worked quite right, and I walk in, I'm just not happy, and you know, and I feel badly about it, but it happens. There are other times that I can walk into a place or in a group and I think I bring some sunshine. I think all of us can be both ways. Jesus, however, I think, is encouraging us and challenging us to try to align ourselves on that positive side. I'm being the kind of person that brings peace and happiness and wholeness and positivity into our relationships with others. Thirdly, and finally, being a peacemaker means we must, I think, in Jesus' name, get involved in making this world a better world for everybody. Of making this world a place where all people can live together in peace and justice and harmony. A world where all people are treated respectfully and with honor. A world where all people can experience wholeness and fullness and dignity and health. A world where economic status and the color of one's skin and one's gender and one's sexual orientation and one's age and one's nationality or any number of other social or demographic distinctions does not become an excuse or a reason for discrimination or hostility or injustice. We can't be passive here. The world needs peacemakers in the highest sense and ideal of that word. Some time ago, I was talking with my friend John White, who's a professor at Grand Valley State University in the Grand Rapids area. John was talking about an experience he had had some years ago while he was visiting Bosnia. While he was there, he met an academic by the name of Abraham, who was a Muslim man. Apparently, during the Serbian-Albanian conflict, Abraham had been placed in a Serbian concentration camp. While in the camp, he had written a friend from the university, another professor, a Serbian man who was an officer in the Serbian army, explaining his circumstances to his friend and asking his friend for some help. Apparently, Abraham never heard a word back from his friend. Well, when Abraham was finally released from the concentration camp and his daughters returned from their own exile in Hungary, the three of them went back to this university. And while they were there, this Serbian officer friend came up to Abraham and greeted him and tried to give Abraham a hug. Abraham pushed him away. The man apparently tried once more, but Abraham once again resisted and pushed him away. Then the man told Abraham how happy he was to see him again and asked how he was doing and if his daughters were back home and if everything was going well now. And Abraham, I guess, simply said to this man in a fairly neutral, perhaps even cooler way, "We're doing all right." Well, afterwards, he was telling the story to his daughters, and they were upset, and they were angry. They asked their dad why he hadn't attacked, at least verbally, this man and set him straight about his lack of response when Abraham had been in this Serbian concentration camp. And Abraham then said to his daughters, Well, if we are ever going to have peace in this country, if we're ever going to have peace in our world, I must first bury the sword. Abraham, I believe, understood that peacemaking, he understood that being a peacemaker is tough, it's intentional, it's proactive and active, and it's very courageous work. Yet, if there is ever going to be a world that lives together in harmony, we have to do whatever we need to do to help make our world a better and more just and safer place for all. It will not happen passively. Let me close with one other story. In 1968, the year that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was killed, he had compared the world in which we live to a global house. He quoted an author's idea for a novel where a very widely separated and disintegrated family inherited this big house, like a mansion, in which they all had to learn to live together. Well, King said this. He said, "This is the great new, but not too new, problem of humankind. We've inherited together this large house, this great world house," he said, "in which we have to live together. Black and white, Eastern and Western, Gentile and Jew, Catholic and Protestant, Muslim and Hindu. We are," King said, "we're a world family living in a world house, separated in ideas and culture and interest. But because of the nature of the world today and with communications and technology, we can never, ever live apart again. It's impossible. So," he said, "we must learn somehow to live with each other in peace." My friends, the question this morning is, how relatable are you? First to yourself and to God and others. And then secondly, are you a peacemaker? Or just a peace lover? Or maybe a peace taker? Being a peacemaker means to first make peace within yourself and within your own soul. It has to start there. And then it means to seek wholeness and harmony in your relationship with others, and to take the lead, to be a leader in making that happen. And thirdly, it means to work actively to establish justice and healing and reconciliation and peace in our communities and in our world. Jesus says, and this is the good news, Jesus says, and this is a great outcome, Jesus says, and this is a great gift, Jesus says, blessed or happy or deeply contented are the peacemakers. Those people like you who make the world a better place for all people to live. For they, Jesus says, shall be called the very sons and daughters of God. This God of ours who we believe is a God of limitless love and grace and forgiveness and goodness. Sons and daughters of this God. Will you do it? Will you try? Thanks be to God. Amen.
At this time, we enter into a time of prayer, which that beautiful peace led us into. So let us begin in a moment of silence. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the opportunity to disconnect from our to-dos and to reconnect with you, our Creator. Lord, perhaps for the first time all week, we've experienced a sense of spiritual peace, if only in this hour. There is a calm that passes over us and through us as we walk through the doors of this beautiful sanctuary. Here in the sacred space, there is refuge for those of us who seek your wisdom, for those of us who are waging peace in the name of your Son. And so we bask in that refuge today. Wash us with the peace and the conviction that this house of worship has embodied for more than a century and a half. We gather here for worship and for prayer and for praise because what we do in here should change how we live out there. It should change the world out there because your love and your promises and your grace, O God, are life-changing. Lord, we seek peace because we are working so hard, and yet it seems like we're hardly living. Our days are full, our rest is short, and our hearts and our heads grow weary. We are weary of our own schedules and our stress. We are weary with the news of violence and injustice and more natural disasters that endanger and destroy lives. Infuse us, O God, with the peace of your Son, the peace that surpasses all understanding. And send us out into the world you so love to be peacemakers. Help us to listen more than we speak. Help us to encourage more than we criticize, to yell less and breathe deeper and love recklessly, because being right shouldn't be our greatest value. Send us forth from this place refreshed in your Spirit, that we may be your peacemakers in the midst of strife or despair, corruption or injustice. Even as our days and schedules remain full, our hearts and spirits need not remain empty or anxious, for your encouragement and your peace can fill them to overflowing. May these gifts overflow from us as we go about another week of this gift called life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So I want to tell you a joke. Is this on? I want to tell you a joke. There was a person who had been stranded all alone on a deserted island for years, when finally this person was rescued. And when the rescuers came to rescue him on the island, they noticed that there were three huts on the island. And so they asked him, "What are those huts that are on your island?" He said, "Well, one of those huts was my home, and the other hut was my church." And they said, "Well, what about the third hut?" And the guy said, "That's the church I left." Go and be peacemakers, and go in peace. Amen.
Join us singing in our